Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, and congratulations to our TSO winner. Was it Billy from Millstadt in Illinois?
Correct.
Congratulations.
Yeah, way to go, Billy. Enjoy the show.
Happy Enjoying hot, a
happy
daytime
holidays.
Show.
Yeah. I love matinees way more than late nights. Maybe it's because we're getting old. Like, we just got to get to bed earlier.
100%.
Because otherwise you're getting home 11:30, 12 at night, you know.
Yeah, I don't want that.
You got the traffic and all that to deal with after the show.
And usually, you're like, I still got to wake up.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to wake up at the same time. You're like, ugh, so I'm going to get less sleep. And now your ear's ringing. And, you know, you have a wind down time. Takes a little bit longer after a big show like that. Your senses are overloaded. But you're right. I find anymore I'm a convenience guy. I want to go to a show where I can sit down and enjoy it the whole time. TSO is one of those shows. So that's perfect.
That's right.
Yeah. Enterprise will be rocking for sure. So we never played that one clip from Jasmine Crockett. I kept saying we're going to play it. You just want to play the full thing now and get the full context.
Yeah.
Because we played.
Well, we heard
the
little
short one,
which was hysterical, where you'll hear it inside this, where she says, well, just because someone commits a crime, they're not a criminal. What was the context around that? Because you're saying, well, you probably took her out of context. Oh, no. Oh, no, we didn't. Let's hear the whole thing from good old Jasmine.
And I do think that I'm in a unique situation because I was having the conversations with people that were going out and committing crimes. And so I understood what was kind of pushing them there. And so I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal.
Mm, yeah.
That is completely different. Being a criminal is more so about your mindset.
Oh, it's not your actions. Wait. Oh, it's your mindset. Oh, my God. I didn't know that. That you're not really a criminal. Yeah, you're not really a criminal if you go rob a convenience store if your mindset really wasn't to rob the convenience store, right?
No, because the person that owns the convenience store, they're not people.
Exactly.
So it's not, you know, you're not a criminal. Or you smash and grab someone's car. It doesn't matter because it's not your car.
No,
so you're not a criminal.
If we're missing something here, if we're missing something by what she just said, please let us know. You can message us on Facebook. You can call the show. I would love to hear somebody say, what the hell did she just mean by that? That if we're not, being a criminal is a mindset and it's not committing a crime.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to take from that? How is this woman elected by anybody? I mean, you have to ask yourself, is our electorate that stupid that they would put this woman into it?
Yeah, yes, well, the ones that voted for her, yes. Yeah. Okay, let's do the short list.
Yeah, here we go.
The Mark Cox short list.
Jails and incarceration and law enforcement is a sickness that has not led to safe communities.
Well, that is the Chicago mayor. And jail and incarceration is end law enforcement is a sickness that has not led to safe communities.
Yeah, their bail reform has done so well in reducing crime, hasn't it? Yeah.
Are they still the crime capital of the country per capita? I think they're right up there, and I think they might still be.
Yeah, they're right up there with shootings. Detroit, Memphis, and St. Louis all fighting for that top spot every year. Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But I settled 7 wars, all of which they said were not settleable. Got them all done. And the one I thought was going to be easiest was going to be Russia-Ukraine because of my relationship with President Putin. So I'm disappointed.
Yeah, saying that the foiled peace talks, he thought this would be a little bit easier between Russia and Ukraine because he just had a relationship with Putin and Zelensky in that sense. But they just hate each other is what he said. So it's not a good sign on how things are going there.
Only thing that I would say as it pertains to Jimmy Kimmel was, where was the joke? Because you're a late night host. And obviously that has a comedic attachment to it. Where was the joke? Obviously, there wasn't anything funny about that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like him.
You know, Steven's been making a whole lot more sense like the past 6 months. I don't know if he's having an epiphany or a dawning that, man, you know, because he was a pretty hard leftist during the Biden years and a defender of Biden for quite a while. Now suddenly he seems to be talking in more common sense logic, including
More centrist.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went on with Bill Maher, sounded like a centrist. Went on with Sean Hannity, sounded like a centrist. And he just got his big payday because I think people realize that if you're kind of down the middle and just common sense, that's the type of things people are going to be attracted to moving forward.
I actually said, Charlie, someday I think you have a good chance of being president. I think you will be president, maybe.
Is that interesting comment from Donald Trump? You know what that reminded me of? Remember the quote that Ronald Reagan said, one day I can see Donald Trump being president? That's kind of like the now President Donald Trump saying to Charlie Kirk, one day I can see you becoming president, that torch being passed off. That's what I heard in that. I don't know if Charlie Kirk could have made it to be the president, but I'll tell you that once you build a base of young people that was growing, and you were continuing to convince people that were against you through dialogue that you're not bad and you actually want to help people, that's how you become powerful in politics. And that was the path Charlie Kirk was on.
Yeah. His wife, of course, yesterday was named the new CEO of Turning Point USA. The board unanimously nominated and put her into that seat. So you got to hope that that organization is going to continue to flourish and blossom. In fact, 40,000 now. They've gone over 40,000 inquiries of starting new chapters at high schools and colleges and churches across the United States. So, you know, it seems to be gaining momentum, and the memory and work of Charlie is not going to be forgotten.
Yeah. I know we got a couple of minutes here. Maybe you can help me with this story because I don't really know how to take it. So Brigitte Macron, who is the wife of Emmanuel Macron, French leader, to offer evidence that she is a woman after Candace Owens claims. What's going on with that?
Of course, Candace, you know, came out relatively, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, mm-hmm. and talked that she had factual evidence and inside information that Macron's wife was really a man.
That ain't
and,
no
okay.
It's a man.
And had transitioned at some point. They're claiming now, and they're filing suit in U.S. court against Candace Owens, a defamation suit, and they're mm-hmm. saying they have evidence that they want to present. Well, my question when I read that is, what evidence do you need? Give me a swab, right? All you need is a quick DNA test, right?
Yeah,
That will give you the chromosomal, whether she XX or XY or whatever, you know. And that would tell. What are you going to do? Show photos of private parts? What other evidence would there need to be? Just give us a sample.
Yeah, 100%.
And do it, and I would say that a judge should declare who that testing service would be, because it's really easy, I think, for a president of a country to be able to find somebody to give documents, right? That might say one thing, but I say you go to an independent lab and you say, quick DNA, it's going to, you know, swab the inside of your mouth, and we'll determine this once and for all. And then, of course, no matter who wins, it's going to it'll be years and years before any settlement would ever be done in this civil case because whoever wins, the other one's going to appeal.
You know what this reminds me of? Do you know who Howie Carr is? I believe it was him. He's a Boston radio show host for many years. I think mm-hmm. he's a radio Hall of Famer. And he was someone for a decade or so called out Elizabeth Warren. Now, keep in mind, he's in Boston, saying there's no way she's Native American. For years, he's like, I just got to get a water bottle that she put her mouth on because I'm going to do my own DNA testing because I know Elizabeth Warren is lying when she says she's Native American. And he did this over and over and over again until Elizabeth Warren actually did a DNA test and found out her Native American heritage is probably less than you and I.
Yeah.
It's like so minuscule. If you look at the average person living in the United States and you were to track their DNA heritage and find out what percentage is Native American, it was less than the U.S. average. And she was out there, of course, Elizabeth Warren benefiting from the fact that she claimed she was Native American.
Oh.
It gave her all kinds of benefits in life, financially
college admission.
Yeah. So Howie Carr was right. This is what it reminds me of. I mean, what if Candace's own is right? But this is a tough sell. Honestly, when you go to court, it is not a good sign that she's in the right.
Well, and what I think is going to come out of this is that they have bragged about the length of their relationship when he would have been 14 years old. And she was in her 30s. In America, that's child molestation, right? That is. So that's going to come up in court. Like, wait, your relationship as boyfriend, girlfriend started when he was 14? Wait a minute.
That's strange. Because
she's a good 15, 16 years older than him, I believe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
So that's all going to come out as well. Like, well, when did you start to groom this guy, you know?
I know.
So,
well, you know, we have a guest. Corey Ruth is the CEO of Mergence Global, and we'll talk about Jimmy Kimmel being pulled from the air and get her take on that coming up. Corey Ruth, I apologize. Coming up after the break, 97.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One FM Talk. And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox with Dan Buck here. Joining us now is the CEO of Mergence Global, Corey Ruth. Good morning to you, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks so much.
We're looking at the Jimmy Kimmel case, and I wanted to get your take on this because, I mean, you've worked with a lot of different companies. So this is what you hear in the different headlines. Jimmy Kimmel was pulled because Donald Trump hates him. And then on the other side of it is the business side. You have these television affiliates that were afraid of their brand being damaged because of the things that were being said on the program, which pressured ABC. So which one is it? Is it the Donald Trump is a dictator, or is it business? Is it just a business decision, you think?
Yeah, this is a business decision. There's probably a correlation, but certainly not any causation there. So these networks that we know, ABC, NBC, CBS, they don't own local stations directly. So they have affiliate agreements with companies like Nexstar that then own a group of these local television stations. So Nexstar owned like 200 stations, and 32 of them were ABC affiliates. And so when the statements were made during the same time period, Chairman Carr went on a show and made a direct statement about Jimmy Kimmel's comments not being accurate. And then at the same time, the affiliate network of Nexstar and Sinclair owns about 185 stations across the country. They made decisions to preempt the show, which means that they're not going to air future episodes of that show, and they made complaints to the FCC. That is it. No actual FCC action was made. I think the executives at ABC deciding to suspend Jimmy Kimmel had a lot to do with his sinking ratings I think it had to do with the amount of money that, you know, late night television is losing just across the board. I think Stephen Colbert was losing $40 million, according to the Wall Street Journal, and Jimmy Kimmel's ratings were lower than his. And so I think it also has to do with reading the room. You know, these networks are paying out a lot of money in lawsuits for inaccurate information. And while Jim Kimmel's not held to the same standard as like a news anchor, I think he failed to read the room there. So I think this was an executive decision. And there certainly was maybe some correlation there, but definitely not causation.
We're talking to Corey Ruth, the CEO of Mergence Global. And, you know, you work with a lot of CEOs and a lot of companies that are high tech, Fortune 500. Why would they not come out and really give that business reason? Because obviously there's a whole lot of speculation going on. Oh, Trump called Iger. He forced people. His FCC chair did this. Well, there's no evidence that that pressure was applied. Wouldn't those CEOs to just kind of clear the deck going, no, what he said was inappropriate. His ratings were sliding. Or we were losing affiliates. Why wouldn't they kind of make that case, I wouldn't say for Trump, but to just clear the air and to call all these media outlets for the lies they're promoting?
You know, there's a very thick, you know, probably booklet contract between ABC, Disney, and Jimmy Kimmel. And so you got to be very careful. The suspension is more of a holding action. It avoids anything that is immediate. So they have to go through that, and their legal team is probably going through that document now. They are trying to understand the buyouts. They're trying to understand what could trigger a legal dispute, what could trigger arbitration or breach of contract. And so we're in this sort of holding action right now. And there's also, you know, zip the lips for any executive in terms of committing to a reason for this, because they're going to have to provide a reason that aligns with the contractual terms.
Corey, yeah. I was going to say, is there any way you think he holds this job? I mean, he's been so bad-mouthing ABC for so long and has made no remorse about his comments and putting the Kirk assassination in his monologue and his opening so-called comedy routine. Do you think there's any chance that they turn this suspension around and get him back on the air, or do you think he's done?
I think he's done, but I will say that during these suspensions, you know, one of the things that they are looking at is, you know, how the public responds and also how the press responds writ large, right? So if he got a positive response overall, like overwhelmingly positive response, that might have moved the needle. I don't see that happening. At best, it's 50-50. And so they made the decision. It probably was going to move in this direction anyway, just like what we saw happen with Stephen Colbert. Times are changing, and late night television is just not pulling what it used to pull. And it used to be the anchor, right, of television. Mm-hmm. It was the evening news and late night television. And, it's just not doing the same. And so I don't see them changing their decision. I think he knew that things were moving in that direction. And in fact, his comment might have been him sort of laying the brand, his personal brand, for when this move happens.
No. Yeah. Well, that's a good way to look at it. And, you know, just in general, and radio standpoint, content from the late night shows used to drive content on morning shows on radio. That sure never happens anymore. It goes to show you the fall there. CEO of Mergence Global, Corey Ruth, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate your insight.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Corey.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and Nicole Murray, she's going to join us right after the break this morning with Gordon Deal on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox this week and next week, too. Dan Buck, we're going to relax this weekend. We'll be back again on Monday. I got Coast to Coast AM this weekend. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. It's great, Mark. Get some time off, too. It's always nice to break away. I always wonder, though, somebody like Mark, I wonder if he can actually detach himself from, like, the local news. He's so passionate about it and so into, you know, the daily events of the world. And I'm wondering if a guy like Mark can literally unplug when he's on vacation. Do you think? I don't know.
I
can
hope
you?
So.
Can you do it?
Yes.
Oh, me too. Me
nope.
too. Me too.
No
I can
problem
totally
whatsoever.
Yep. Get the phone away from me. Let's go fishing. Let's be with the grandkids. Whatever it is, unplugging for me is pretty easy.
Yeah, it's like a valve. So, let's say during the week it's a fire hose, and then you just turn yep. the valve righty tighty, and it just comes out as a trickle. That's my weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at some business.
Nicole.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm having a great hair day, so I'm doing well. How are you?
We're good. We're good. And any weddings to go to this weekend? What do you got going? The party girl always has some fun going on.
Yes, I'm going to be heading into New York City. It is my sister's birthday, so I will not be stopping anytime soon.
Wonderful. So the Big Apple for the big birthday. Is it a special one, like a milestone birthday or no?
Yeah, she's turning 30, the big 3-0.
Because I was thinking, you probably aren't going to New York for just like a 28th. You know what I mean? It's like it had to be a big one.
No, birthdays are a pretty big deal in our family. You Good. Know what I mean? My mom is one of those people where she's like, oh my God, it's my birthday month. So,
you know. You do half birthdays too?
Yeah. Oh my God, that would be good.
Wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be good. I'll talk my parents into it.
I don't know if your social agenda will allow it though. You're a pretty busy girl, always going to something.
I will be flying out of state at least once every single month for the rest of the year.
Wow. Well, what's yes. going on in the markets?
All right. So futures are mixed. Thursday, sorry. The Dow Industrials gained 124, the NASDAQ up 209, the S&P 500 up 31. The federal government will not take over the removal of hundreds of thousands of tons of wreckage left by the May 16th tornado, despite the city's request for reinforcements to supercharge the effort. However, city officials said that's okay. The federal government will still send experts to guide the process and advance tens of millions of dollars to accelerate cleanup efforts. President Trump has suggested that the federal government might revoke the licenses of broadcast television networks that are against him. Trump's comments come a day after ABC suspended airing the Jimmy Kimmel Live show because of the host's comments about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Property taxes aren't usually the biggest part of a monthly housing bill, but they've become a growing strain on household budgets. CoreLogic data says that homeowners are paying more than 27% more in property taxes than they did in 2019. That may help explain why 67% of homeowners who budgeted for taxes said their bill came in higher than expected. Olive Garden said it has begun experimenting with a lighter portion section of its menu. Darden Restaurant CEO Rick Cardenna said the new menu section offers reduced portions on 7 of Olive Garden's existing entrees at a reduced price to drive sales growth. The full-size portions will not be affected. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports Ford Motor is recalling more than 101,000 Taurus sedans in the U.S. due to a defect that can cause door trims to detach while driving. The issue involves the B-pillar trim on the driver and front passenger doors, which may come loose during vehicle operation. And finally, a new Norwegian study found that people who regularly clean their homes lost lung function equivalent to smoking 20 cigarettes a day. Researchers believe this comes from years of inhaling tiny particles and irritants from cleaning sprays and products.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing to admit to. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm all right. What do you say there?
I mean, I think now it's official. We have scientific data that it's responsible for you to skip your household chores.
Oh, well, there you go.
Little silver lining.
Like, the air quality inside your home is a lot worse than the air quality outside your home. So I thought it was a good thing to clean this stuff up.
Those cleaning things are so strong. I guess that's why. But it's okay. Now you can say you're too pretty to clean and you can hire someone else to do it.
But you're still going to breathe in the stuff. I mean, if it's in the air in the house, you're still breathing it in. It's even if you come in after the fact, it's still lingering in the air. I think everyone, like in these new builds, put in these HEPA filter stuff to try to clean the air, and it makes a big difference.
I mean, even if you come in after the fact, though, it's very different than your face being right next to it when the bottle is spraying. So don't be home at the time of cleaning, and hopefully, you know, it won't be as bad.
And let somebody else do it. That's the key.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
That means they have to be. That means they get the spray instead, right?
Oh yeah. I don't know.
They knew what they signed up for.
Yeah. They knew exactly. That's right.
All right. Things considered, not to lighten it up, but all things considered, the stuff that you're going to be putting into your body liquid wise this weekend while partying with your sister may be pale in comparison to a little Windex.
You know, I cannot confirm nor deny. any of those reports. But there may be a shortage of alk by the end of the weekend.
Well, have a safe, fun weekend. Wish your sister a happy birthday for us, will you?
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Awesome. I'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks, Nicole.
See you soon.
Awesome.
You know, I was just doing a quick little look at the Dow Jones. Can I mention one thing about this, Dan? And whenever I see the markets close on a record high, I think it's worthy of mentioning that. We don't mention that enough because it's been closing on record highs. And if you go back just earlier this year, April 8th, this might have been one of the low spots. Dow Jones closed at 37,645. Remember tariff talk and all these other concerns back and forth, what's going to happen? And now, yesterday, closing at 46,142. So you're looking at like an 8,500-point swing in a matter of months for the Dow Jones. That is unbelievable, all things considered, historically speaking, the run that it is on right now.
Oh, but I thought the tariffs were going to crush everything. Remember the forecasts were so gloom and doom and that he was going to sink the economy. I mean, what happened to all that? No one's talking about this record boom. Jobs numbers weren't as good as they thought last month, but that actually was good because we're going to get at least a quarter percent interest rate drop. And I say that's not good. We'd love to have more jobs. But the fact is they were saying it was going to crush jobs, move unemployment up over 5 again. People were claiming that we were going to see huge inflationary numbers, which are not happening. So where's all the gloom and doom? I mean, the market's performing at record levels. So
yeah, just as an indication of the markets and where investors are right now. I think that there's a lot of room here still. Because all things considered, if you're still moving the pieces around the board and they're not in place yet, and this is how it's performing before they get in place, it shows that a lot of times investors understand where things are going and then they invest based on that. It goes to show you things may be moving in the right direction and we may not be giving enough credit to Donald Trump. All things considered, in his first 4 years, the things that he did for the economy, amazing. I mean, it was really gangbusters. We going into it this way, yes, he hasn't even been in for a year yet, but we're already seeing some pretty dramatic increases, and it's a lot of correcting some things that were wrong in the past. If we can continue on this path, I mean, I think there's a lot of optimism of where it can go. The thing that I'm afraid about is that everything's going to get so expensive. The labor market's not going to be able to keep up with wages, and what are we going to do then? That's going to be the hardest thing, I think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the price of a strong economy, right? Is that you don't have enough workforce sometimes to fill all the jobs that are being created. So, I think that's a good problem to have, but it's certainly still, when you talk about growth and economic prosperity, is you got to have a workforce that can sustain it. Now, some people say, well, that's what the illegals should be good for. No, we still have 4.5% unemployment. There's still a lot of people who want to enter into the workforce or, more importantly, improve their workforce. You know, people who are working in transition or in service industry jobs who would love to get a better paying, higher, bit more secure job in construction or in technology or whatever that might be. So as we bring these companies back, which is the goal, I think you're going to see average wages climb as well. But again, workforce could be an issue there, that we create more jobs than we actually can fill.
Yeah. You think people are more interested in being self-sufficient, self-employment, finding ways to make it without being on a payroll somewhere else that could be not reflected in some of the numbers we're seeing?
Well, there are a lot of self-employed people who don't report to those numbers. I always wonder, all these people who are social media influencers, and they literally stay home and make tens of thousands of dollars in some cases per month. Are they in those jobs numbers? Think about that. How would they track people who are doing successful enough to get paid by the YouTubes of the world and the X's and the Facebooks. And, you know, there's thousands of them, right? Thousands of people who are making good money. Are they, how would that show up in a jobs report?
I think as soon as, like, I'll use eBay, for example, because I'll sell stuff on there. Uh-huh. As soon as you reach the threshold of $600, they make you fill out a tax form. So they're logging this stuff and reporting it to the IRS. If you reach, I think they reset it back to $20,000 a year. If you sell more than $20,000 over the course of the year, and by the way, that number was a lot less in recent years. I think the Trump administration just bumped it back up to $20,000. So there's some people that just don't report that sort of income, even though it is logged through some of these parties like, you know, eBay or whatever it is, or PayPal are taking some of these things in. Sure. But I think at least if you have an employee, and let's say if you're one of these self-employers that are $10,000 a month working for social media, you have people helping you do that. There's no way you'd be able to do it by yourself. As soon as you start paying someone else, you're hiring an accountant. You're not doing that stuff on your own. So then I think that's when it probably shows up. But if you're alone, you know, and you're just making $25,000 or whatever too in social media and you're fine living in a studio apartment and eating ramen noodles, then probably not.
Right. Well, and I imagine that's a 1099 of some sort from the social media platforms who are paying them.
Yeah.
Is that a is that considered a contractor or is it just a fee for service of some kind? You know, it'd be interesting to know how that's tracked. But I mean, I think that's so many young people's dream is to be popular enough on social media that that'll be their job. But very few actually make it. It's kind of like Major League Baseball. Everybody plays the game with the dream of being a big leaguer. But actually making a living at the sport, or in this case, social media, is very rare.
Yep. And other news coming up after the break on 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
We always talk about the big purses in the lottery, but winning any big purse, I mean, any amount over $5,000, the chances are so slim. You know, I always say it's kind of a tax on dumb people who play, because you have a better chance literally at a casino. I hate to say it, but your money has a better chance at a roulette wheel than you have at the lottery. But people spend lots of money on it. But here's a little lottery envy. Can you imagine winning twice in 2 months?
Wow. No,
I don't know. It doesn't say
amazing.
It doesn't say in the story how many tickets this South Carolina woman plays on a weekly basis. But she won $10,000 this past week. Just 2 months after she won $200,000.
Dang.
And there were two different games that she played. So the question is, does she spend like a $50, $100 a week? Who knows how much she's spending? But the odds of that, of hitting twice in 2 months, have to be one in a gazillion. I mean, that's just crazy that she won $210,000 on two different tickets.
Or it's an inside job.
Or an inside job.
Ooh,
yeah.
Just a conspiracy round. How deep is that now addiction to the lottery? She thinks, I'm going to make this my life's existence to win again and ruin everything, all the good luck.
Go put it on red at the casino.
So if you were to guess the largest fast food chain in the world, you'd probably guess McDonald's, right?
Subway. Like they're all fastest over the place. Growing?
Nope, just in general, the number of fast food restaurants, the chain
Subway,
in general.
Easily.
You think it's Subway?
No, well.
Oh, they're everywhere. They're in every small town has a Subway.
Well, McDonald's was the number one. They're no longer the number one largest fast food chain by number of locations. That now goes to Michu Bing Cheng. It's a Chinese fast food chain.
China.
They're a bubble tea and ice cream shop. They're not here in the United States.
I was like, wait a minute, that kind of is cheating because, they can't be in the United States.
We don't even know what the hell it is.
They opened an impressive 45,000 stores across China, Vietnam, Malaysia, Thailand, and other countries. And they now have more global locations than McDonald's and Starbucks.
Wow.
Is that something?
Wow.
Good for them.
Well, here's another one. They melt in your mouth and on the roadway. A collision in a New Jersey highway between two tractor trailers. Kind of a real-life Candy Crush story here. Hundreds of bags and boxes of M&Ms littered the highway. They had to shut the highway down because there were so many M&Ms on the highway. Both drivers, by the way, were okay. But the Knowlton, New Jersey Rescue Company said that they estimated that more than a million M&Ms in the various different boxes and bags were scattered throughout it. Those will all be on sale at a Dollar General near you soon. So,
do you think somebody stopped and ate them? Like, for real?
Well, and I'm wondering, did they just let anybody come by and pick them all up, or did they literally pick them up and put them back in a new tractor trailer and head to their destination? Will they be sold?
Well,
the road-worn M&Ms.
Well, I know chocolate's poisonous to a lot of animals. Could you imagine that just carcasses all over that area in the future?
No.
Just poison
Ryan
all littered across the area.
Does it make them sick, or does it actually kill them?
It would eventually will.
It
they
will?
Say, yeah, they say if too much chocolate will kill your dog.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, dogs, sure. And I mean, other animals have issues digesting that stuff, too.
M&Ms lead to roadkill everywhere.
I know. Did you see Mark Zuckerberg did this AI smart glass demonstration through Meta, and it completely failed their presentation? So you had the dude up there, and he had ingredients on a table, and he was asking these AI glasses to put the ingredients together to teach this person in real time how to cook. It failed miserably, and the person up there is trying to get it to work, and it just keeps failing, and he's like, I don't know what to do, man. These things aren't working.
Speaking of inventions, though, and I don't have copy on this, but did you see the story of Elon Musk with the I think it was an NBC reporter in the tunnels underneath the Los Angeles highways? He's got this little monorail electric car thing going on.
The boring thing,
yeah, we'll have to learn more about that. He did a test run, and apparently it went well.
Oh, cool. Maybe we talk about that coming up. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.